Like if I want to know Adam, the best way is to follow the information given by someone who knows Adam well. Similarly, these mantras, these spiritual prayers, they are composed by the dearest devotees of Krishna, and therefore they're the best approach to Krishna. Just like in the case of Adam, we would assume that Mary knows what he likes the best. So, similarly, Krishna's dearest devotees, they know what Krishna likes the best. Therefore, we recite the mantras that have been composed by the expert devotees of Krishna. That's personalism. It's quite interesting to know that bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, is not a free-for-all. It's very sensitive. You see, love is very sensitive. Love is not some monolithic or impersonal bland thing. No. That's why people say, although they never get love in this world, they say that, oh, if I could, it would be so exquisite. It would be so fine. What is the exquisiteness? What is the fineness? It's the sensitivity. Sensitivity means in response to personal varieties. And that's what Krishna consciousness is actually about. Responding to Krishna, being sensitive to Krishna, being aware of all Krishna's unlimited nuances. Now, who do you know who has unlimited nuances? But Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has unlimited nuances and flavors. And bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, means becoming in touch with those innumerable flavors. That is what is called love of God, love of Krishna. So try to understand that we are not giving up our sensitivities in the material world and just getting nothing in place. We are actually giving up the imaginary sensitivity of the material world to revive our real sensitivity to Krishna. But we're puffed up, we're proud. We think, oh, I know all about love, I know how to be personal, I know how to be caring, I know how to be sensitive. That's what Arjuna was telling Krishna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. I know how to be sensitive, Krishna. I know how to be caring. We shouldn't fight this war. Now, how many of you would think that Krishna, in chapter 1, is being more sensitive than Arjuna? Nah, you wouldn't think that. You'd think, well, Arjuna's been very caring and sensitive, but this Krishna, oh, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's being pretty heavy and, you know. Is that what you would think, Mary? Didn't you identify with Arjuna when you first said Bhagavad Gita, didn't you? You thought, yeah. He's a very wonderful person. And didn't you wonder why it is Krishna is being so firm? What about you, Andrew? And you? Yeah, it seemed like Arjuna was being, any kind of ordinary novel or drama, Arjuna would be the hero who's right. And he's trying to fend off this heavy god, Krishna, in his insensitivity. Yeah. To your senses, Krishna appears like some kind of impersonal cold destiny, you know? Some kind of fatalistic, unmoving stone. Now, my point is, we have that reaction because we actually don't know what real sensitivity is. And that's why Krishna says in the second chapter, Arjuna, you're speaking big words about love and care, but you are a fool. Those who are wise never speak like this. So Bhagavad Gita is a very challenging book. It challenges your intelligence from the very beginning. You get trapped, you get sucked right in, sympathizing with Arjuna. And then Krishna comes down heavy, and you're wondering, well, who is this Krishna?
So immediately you're plunged into a predicament.
This Krishna is supposed to be this reigning personality of Godhead, but he's
being so cold and cruel, and Arjuna is being so warm and noble.
What did you think, Adam, when you first started reading? Krishna knows how to set things up to get your attention. The area between two armies, a more dramatic situation than you could imagine.
Yet, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the 18th chapter, Arjuna says, Krishna, my illusion is gone. Nashtam mahasmitir labdha. Kalishyay vachanandava.
I'll act according to your words. That is the perfection of sensitivity.
Now, how can that be?
That is the subject matter of bhakti yoga. The yoga of transcendental love and devotion. How to be sensitive to the Supreme Personality of God. That love between the living entity and the Supreme is introduced in Bhagavad Gita. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam. Expands on the themes of Bhagavad Gita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you meet Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktya Maam Abhijanati. Only by devotional service can you understand me. Maam. And then in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the juicy, sweet details about that Maam, that me, that Krishna, is explained. So keep in mind, you're dealing with love and sensitivity in its purest state. You're dealing with varieties of the most exquisite nature. That's what Krishna is about. Sometimes you might see people walking up and down Broadway here, window shopping, all the boutiques, you know. And they're looking for something exquisite. That's because they've forgotten Krishna, and Krishna is the unlimited exquisite. So these sounds we're going to recite, they are part of the exquisiteness of the culture of loving Krishna. It's going to take us a while to get over our impersonalism and our contamination, by which we think to have relationships in the material world is special, but beyond that there's nothing. No, the relationships of the material world are very paltry, very insignificant representations of the real personalism and sensitivity in the spiritual world. So we have to be a bit humble. We have to understand that I actually don't know what real personalism and sensitivity is. And that's tough, because we all think we know about those things. Yeah, I know how to be personal, I know how to be caring. I'm a sensitive person. This is what Arjuna thought. Excuse me, this is what Arjuna thought. And Krishna saying, you are a fool. Anyone with intelligence never speaks like you, huh? And then Krishna proceeded to instruct Arjuna in what real sensitivity, what real care is. That is the fascinating thing about Bhagavad Gita. Alright. We'll start to chant these mantras on page 1. Om Jnanakumarandasya Jnananjanasaratayo Chakshumilitam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sabhitanyena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Tadamayam Jajati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Rupa Palakam Sri Guru Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Karana Radhinatam Vitantam Sujivam
Advaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Radhika Sri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Nina Bandho Jayapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoshite Satya Kanchila Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwamanu Sita Devi Kalavari Hare Priye Vanshatapatra Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevasa Patitanam Kavanyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Govardhana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare
persons, we thought to consider duty tonight. A fine person is always concerned with duty. And someone with uncontrolled senses never cares about duty. More and more people are complaining that people have no sense of duty anymore. No one cares about anyone or anything. Everyone simply tries to serve their own senses. Now, a noble person, or what we might consider a decent person, is becoming old-fashioned. A decent person is concerned with duty, but people don't care about that anymore. People think, just act to please your senses. Just be frivolous, whimsical. That's the way to experience the fullness of life. As long as you're being spontaneous and enthusiastic, it doesn't matter what you do. In this way, people are easily heading towards animal birth in the next life. A good person is concerned with duty. But unless we actually know what our duty is, even that goodness may not be worthwhile. So what is my duty? What would you say, David? What is your duty?
Is my duty my responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility is to practice unconditional love. This is the only way.
Unconditional love. Okay. And how do you do that?
How?
Mm-hmm.
I keep my ego. So I become aware of it. The same thing.
You kill your ego. And how do you do that?
With the process of unconditional love. And with the mantra. So it's a problem. The practice. Your attitude, your thoughts, and this is also positive and lovely, like you said, the time. You can understand, you can try to be active, you can try to understand the meaning of life. You can try.
Well, I considered that subject of spontaneity before, and I've studied it. In the barnyard, I've made a study of spontaneous creatures who live in the barnyard. You ever studied a barnyard? Barnyard means in a barn. You know, farm has okay. At a farm, I've made studies of spontaneous creatures.
Yes.
And
can I interrupt you?
No.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. In a barnyard, or in a farm, there are many spontaneous chickens, any spontaneous horses, pigs, cows. I have you guys to consider that there should be something more to human life than simply being spontaneous because the animals do it. Well, you were mentioning unconditional love. What is that? We've heard it a lot. It's a quite popular buzzword these days. You've heard it before, unconditional love. Adam, you've heard it before? David, Mary, Andrew, Megan. So, what actually does it mean? What do people mean by it? What do you think, Katrina?
You
need to give to everyone without ever knowing them.
But even if they're like, putting chopped up oil
in,
they're still
going to
be like, loving you, you
know? Oh, the boys, you like that one. Just whatever someone wants, you just give. Have you ever met anyone claim to be practicing unconditional love? Yes.
The practice of unconditional love means the practice of your of the consciousness, means the practice of values, means keep your mind 24 hours on attitude and stay on all your attitude that are selfish in the context that you do not be selfish. So it means at the beginning, to, you know, to satisfy your, some of your needs, just for not make bad things to other beings. And this is the meaning of the practice of transcendental philosophy.
So, Nagin, what is your comment on that? Have you tried this?
Unconditional love.
As commonly known? Not having any bad thoughts, and not treating anyone badly, and thinking positively. You tried it?
Yeah, a long time ago.
And what was the result?
Pretty empty.
Why?
I guess it's due to, the feelings are always temporary. There's nothing either.
What feelings are always temporary? So, I mean, how would you unconditionally love? You just walk up to somebody and say, hey, I want to unconditionally love you? I'm just curious. Yes, yes.
To me, it's very important to understand the concept of love. What is the meaning of a love? Many people think that a love is, a love means to give to someone just because you want to give. And this is the meaning of the consciousness too.
Of what?
Of the consciousness too. I mean a consciousness. I mean a asking.
Okay, please. You're going to unconditionally love someone. Now, how do you do that? Give us a picture.
Impressive.
Give us a picture of how it looks. What happens when you unconditionally love someone?
Me love you. And now I'm suffering the practice and can love you.
Okay. I don't see it.
Okay. Because maybe you don't accept.
I'm having unconditional love, but you don't see it.
You don't have to see it. You have just to practice and to feel the effect of this kind of practice.
So your practice, so everybody here is practicing unconditional love. It's just that you may not feel it, but...
About me. I'm talking about me.
I'm talking about me.
No, I mean, with this kind of practice.
I'm unconditionally loving everyone. You may not feel it, but that's it.
Yes,
I don't know about that, but the point is that I'm showing the world unconditional love, even though they don't feel it, you see?
You can show your way.
Yes, my way. Now you got it. Thank you. My way.
Yes, but there are many ways.
Just like your way, right?
Not mine, many.
Oh, not yours.
You are in the mind.
Wow. What does that mean?
Means love.
You didn't use those words, huh?
Compassion. Means not complete.
Why do you
think?
I know Buddha used that word, but I've never saw him use the word love. And, according to your understanding, don't mind if you'd like to have these discussions here. That's the program. It's pretty exciting. Before doing alright, now, what shows the love in Buddhism?
What shows?
Yes.
Can your conception of love, what does it mean to you, love?
But then I would have to answer that my conceptions are really valueless because I don't determine what the ultimate reality is. So if we want to understand what love is, we have to take our information from the ultimate reality. Otherwise, I'm just a little tiny thing. What does it matter what my conceptions are?
Understand. Because you don't agree with my conception of love. So
I don't know.
Your conception of love.
But I haven't understood yours yet. You haven't presented it fully, so how do I know? Maybe I will like it.
But maybe you don't try to understand. It's different.
Yes, I want to feel it. So, according to Buddha, what is unconditional love? I never knew Buddha talked about this.
But if Buddha is like me, is like you, is like me, is like a Krishna, when we are all the same.
Nothing matters, we're all the same.
Love
means... Yeah!
People talk about love, but like you said, it's very easy to say, I'm a kind person, but it's very easy. You have to practice a love, and you have to practice a love, and not with especially your enemy. This is the point, and at that moment I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking you in general, you will begin to see the meaning of this book and of what Krishna said.
Okay, now, you threw me off because you mentioned Buddha, you said you're a Buddhist. Now,
for make you understand.
But Buddha, he didn't speak about unconditional love, so I'm trying to understand how you fit that in.
So,
Buddha said, I come to teach two things and two things only. What is dukkha, misery, and how to get free from dukkha, misery. Yes. Now, I don't find any words about unconditional love in Buddha's teachings.
No.
No, not one. He does not speak. He says, I come to... I'm talking about what Buddha said. So many varieties, but in Buddha's words you don't find unconditional love. And Tibetan Buddhism is a very complicated thing, and there are different schools, you know?
I came from Tibetan Buddhism.
But there's many different branches of Tibetan Buddhism,
that's so important, you know?
Alright, so therefore you said you are Buddhist, so therefore I'm telling you, Buddha, he did not talk about unconditional love.
Okay, so how you kill the cause of our suffering?
I'm sorry? Yeah, by the way, your English is very good for speaking these kind of subject matters.
Thanks.
So,
how you kill the cause of our suffering? And what do you think is the cause of our suffering?
First of all, Bhagavad-gita will teach you, the first cause of suffering, just as Krishna told Arjuna, is that you are thinking you are the body. That's the preliminary understanding. If we cannot understand that, then nothing else is possible.
Okay.
I think I am this body.
So you think you are ego?
Thinking I am the body means thinking I am flesh and blood and mind, intelligence, and false ego. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita never says that you can annihilate the ego completely. What you want to do is annihilate the false ego. You see, there are two words in Sanskrit, ahankara and ahankara. Ahankara, with the A in front, means false ego. Take the A away and you just have hankara. That refers to the real ego. So there can't be unconditional love without a real ego. Now, Buddha, he did not teach about the real ego.
Okay.
He just taught how to annihilate the false ego.
Yes. You suppose that we knew that there is a real ego and a false ego.
You thought is that right?
I suppose. And that's why I didn't make that difference.
Okay. Now, in order to get information of the real ego, the spirit soul, then you have to turn to Bhagavad Gita. Nowhere else will you find in-depth information of the real ego.
Yeah.
Now, it is very valuable to learn how to get rid of the false ego. But very soon we'll find out that unless we know what the real ego is, we can't really get rid of the false ego. Because we have to be something. We have to do something. We want to love, and how can you love without ego? But what gets in the way of the pure love is the false ego. Now, what is the real ego?
Yeah,
you can
discuss.
Yeah, that's
okay. And I can
answer. But I like listening. They're ready to reply. What is the real ego? Now, if you are Buddhist, you cannot say anything. That's why it's good to reply at this point.
Yes. He is talking to us. So what is the real ego?
But you answer according to Buddhist teachings, you cannot answer. It's nice dialogue. According to Buddha's teachings, you cannot answer what is really ego. He never talked about it.
Ooh.
Buddha never talked about real ego. Simply just mentioned the false ego. What does nirvana mean?
We have to be aware that we are that in us there is a reality. And a reality is the base of the nature of life.
Alright, so you get rid of the duality, and then what?
You have to be aware that inside us, there are two voices.
Inside where? In the stomach, in the lungs, what?
Inside us, in our mind, there are two voices, a consciousness and ego.
Alright, so if you get rid of...
And the breath.
So if you get rid of that duality, then what?
With the practice of unconditioned love, you will begin to don't listen anymore the ego voice.
And what
it means to begin to feel the energy of life.
And
what we call a Krishna.
And now, hold on there. What is loving? What's doing the unconditional loving?
I'm sorry?
What is doing the unconditional loving?
To give.
What is giving?
What is giving?
Yeah.
To listen your consciousness.
What is listening to the consciousness?
Mean to accept, to everyone, to maintain.
What is renouncing?
Suffering. In meditation.
What is doing the renouncing of the suffering?
Forgetting what we are looking for.
And who is doing the looking?
Us.
And who is us?
Ego.
And what is the nature? What's the composition of his ego?
The nature?
What composes the ego? What's the ego made of?
Me.
Can you give me more analytical description?
In the big circle.
I know, what that circle is composed of. What is it composed of?
This circle?
Just like your body is composed of flesh and blood and fat. Now, what is the ego composed of?
Is our personality. Is our conception. Is our choice.
That's all right, but what does it mean? Does it matter?
It's in form, no form.
No form, okay. So the ego has no form.
It's
made of matter, though, yes?
It's the light, too.
It's made of matter, yes?
Sorry?
The ego is made of matter, yes? It's material.
Immaterial.
What is it?
No form.
No. Material. What's it composed of, the ego? A temporary substance?
Ego, you know, it's difficult to know the concept of.
I want to know what substance the ego is made of.
So why you want to know that?
Because if I'm going to get rid of it, I want to know how to recognize it. What's it made of?
That's
like if you have a tumor, you know?
What do you mean a substance? I understand.
Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will tell you that you have a gross body made of.
Yes, sure.
And you have a subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and false ego.
Sure.
And this mind, intelligence, and false ego is matter. Right?
You know
that matter.
Things, you know? Hmm? You know many things.
I'm wanting to know what you are saying. So, you have to tell me what the ego is composed of. Is it good or bad? Should we have it or should we not?
What kind of ego? Because you don't need there are ego. So you let us to.
That's the Krishna said. You are saying something else.
Ego within the cause of ourselves.
Yes. Okay. Now, once you get rid of that ego that causes the suffering, then what?
This is the point. Ego is the cause of.
Okay.
One is the point.
Once you destroy.
Okay. You be aware. You become aware.
Anyway,
you be direct.
You have to listen to this.
Yes.
It's a very important point. Try just to focus on this one point. Once, at the time, when you destroy the ego that is causing so much suffering, then what? What happens then?
Enlightenment.
For what?
Openness.
For what?
Meaning of life.
Who's happy and who's enlightened?
Well, you open this.
After my ego is destroyed, and the ego has caused so much suffering.
I told you at the beginning, awareness.
Who is aware?
Ego that is.
Who is aware? Who's aware?
Ego. Became a consciousness, and the world a your
who is consciousness?
What does it mean?
Who is consciousness?
A union with your real nature.
Okay, my real nature, what is that?
Love.
And who is loving?
Ego.
But you tell me the ego is destroyed.
I didn't tell you. You told it. I want to be aware of it of two voices.
Okay, now, listen. Buddha, we're talking about.
Wait. Can I interrupt you? So, what did you tell me? So, I was right at the beginning. So, I show you what I wanted to say. So, why you did this big argument?
No, no, not argument. We're trying to get to the point. We're enthusiastic to get to the point.
Yes.
We're eager. You know, you understand eager? We are eager,
yes.
Enthusiastic to destroy the ego.
And the ego is always there. And you are...
Then you don't always matter.
You are showing it. No, you are aware of it. Many people are not...
But how are always matter if the ego is always there? Yes.
No, you are aware of it. It's a big word, and you know.
So what is the perfect spiritual state?
I think it doesn't exist. You have to...
Buddha said that. Buddha said no perfect spiritual state exists?
Buddha said enlightenment.
And what is it? Who is enlightened?
You.
And what is the nature of that being? Is it ego or what?
I don't understand the question.
I understand. Okay, I'll go about it a different way.
Yes.
Buddha taught a very powerful but limited teaching.
Can I tell you something?
Why
you are asking me so many questions?
Because
that's what we do here.
Oh,
I hope that these guys are understanding me.
Oh, yeah, they're lying, can't you see? All those are righteous discussions.
That's important, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to show myself, you know?
No. We're at a very important point, you see? So, let's try to find here.
I begin to be more comfortable.
Can I? Yes, relax. Now, let us be like scientists and focus on this very special point. Now, I'm claiming that Buddha, he taught a very powerful teaching, but limited. As I told you, limited. Buddha said, I come to teach two things and two things only. Because of your unconditional love, let me be Buddha, he said, I come to teach two things and two things only. An egotistic thing. But anyway, he said, what is suffering and how to get rid of suffering?
Yes.
What is suffering and how to get rid of suffering? Okay, now, once you destroy the suffering, what do you do?
When you destroy the suffering, what do you do?
I'm asking you. They're listening. They want to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suffering, and after suffering, brings what?
You tell us.
Happiness.
Oh, and what is having the happiness?
What is the happiness
What is having the happiness after you destroy the suffering?
I don't understand. What?
What is having the happiness? What is happy?
What you are looking for.
No.
I can ask you what you are, what now you are talking, what now you are knowing. Everything that you produce is for your happiness. You are always looking to be happy. So this is our goal, to be happy. We are
in the goal. Who's the goal?
You want to go.
Okay, what is me? What am I?
What do you want to show?
What am I? Just give me a clear statement of what I am. Am I this body? Am I the body?
You are not.
Am I the mind?
The body is there.
Am I the body? Just say yes or no.
No.
Okay, am I the mind?
No.
Am I the ego?
You are.
Now, is that the way it should be?
What do you mean?
Should I be the ego?
If you want to be happy, no.
No. Okay, when I'm not the ego, what am I?
Nothing.
These are two lies. You are hiding the truth from me.
I know, but I want to show you something.
Nothing. So, this is the goal of your life, to be nothing? And
you
are accepting this?
Oh, you guys,
this is
a bad way to show
your
soul.
No.
Because you are trying to get
the right way. I want to talk about hidden secrets. What is that nothingness? And last time, I want to be nothing.
Because you want to be happy.
Would you like to do nothing to be happy?
Sorry, concept of a
nothing. No, I'm not going to talk to others. Would you like to subtract and do nothing?
You have to explain what do you mean of nothing.
She said, well, you tell us that.
It's empty. It's different.
Empty. And then what is? Nothing?
Is the issue of blood, like Bhagavad Gita says too.
I don't know, Bhagavad Gita says that. Now,
Yes.
That's something else. We're not talking about Bhagavad Gita right now. Now, why are you attracted to be nothing and to be empty?
You are trying. I don't want to be empty.
What do you want to be?
I don't want to be nothing.
What do you want to be?
Happy.
And what is happy?
What is happy for
you? You already let the cat out of the bag.
What is happy
for you? Wait, you already let the cat out of the bag. You say, after you destroy the ego.
You enjoy me there.
I know. So, you let the cat out of the bag, you admit that the goal is nothingness. Now I'm trying to understand why.
I didn't say that.
You
want that.
Oh, don't cover it over that. So, why do you want to be nothing?
What do you mean, nothing? You mean, there are nothing. What do you mean about the concept of nothing?
Okay, you use the word. What do you mean?
I ask you, what do you mean?
I got it from you.
No. You ask me a question.
Yes.
And it's important to focalize for them. What is the meaning of nothing? So, when I...
When I
will do my answer, we know the conception of nothing. So, you guys, you can understand now to answer in relationship of that concept of nothing that we fixed before. So I want to know from you what the meaning of nothing from you.
I got it from you.
So I do the same attitude of
you. No, try to understand.
Try to understand me too.
You brought up the
word. Try to understand me too.
You brought up.
You brought me now. I try to drive you to my ego.
You brought the word nothing first, didn't you?
You want this. So now I try to come back.
All right, we'll temporarily skip the word nothing.
Okay.
We'll go back to our original question.
Okay.
the ego causes
the ego
causes suffering.
You can again, but do you know what it means, ego? Because we are talking about a very important thing.
So and I can tell you they are not beginners. They're all, that's why I have this question. They are, they're all knowledgeable for the most part in these things.
Well, yeah, because in this book, the name of this book is the ego.
Where the name of this book is Bhagavad Gita?
No, the protagonist.
Who told you that?
Krishna.
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says he is the supreme ego.
Okay.
Not the ordinary ego.
So we begin every time.
Yes.
The ego needs to be aware of all this. So he is always there. He is a demon that is inside us and it means to it. Always to want more. And if we connect our life and soul, our searching of happiness.
Soul, you said?
Our searching.
Did you say soul?
No. Our searching.
My life, my soul, right here, or is this my
soul?
Yeah,
I'm
whatever
soul. You
want your soul? Okay, you are the word of soul. That's why I put it in here.
This is the one that I thought.
Yes. I you said soul. That's what you mean. According to Buddhism, the sky is a soul.
So, I would say that if we connected our research of all happiness to our needs, we will always have this kind of life. So, bad moon and good moon, bad moon and good moon. Because we
okay, now what is it that experiences the permanent, eternal happiness? What experiences that?
You can explain. You must feel it.
Now who says this? Wait a minute.
Do you have no explanation of what experiences the eternal happiness?
I'm
a common. You're being a good Buddhist right now. What's good and what's bad?
You don't judge it. Always. Every
all right. Is that good or bad? Do you don't judge it?
Bad. Why? Because it is not easy for our person.
Now, how do you stop suffering?
How you feel or you become aware of evil? I don't think it.
Now what?
She's listening to us. I want to know how you eliminate the cause of health of your system.
I know how to do it.
No, it's not going to be better now. Why? You know why?
have a mistaken understanding. Bhagavad Gita teaches about eternal ego. It teaches about how to get rid of the false ego and how to live according to the eternal ego. This is very difficult for you to hear. Sudhar, you have no idea the eternality of individuality. It's almost impossible for you to understand because Buddha never taught that. When you're dealing with people who cannot accept eternal individuality, then maybe it's best just to say, get free of the suffering. But after you get free of the suffering, what do? You can't tell the people that because they're not intelligent enough. Therefore, Buddha taught, listen, just get free from suffering. Now, what do you do after you get free of suffering? He never explained.
But you must do something?
Yes.
Why?
And it is the pure you that should do something, not the false ego. But you don't know nothing about the pure you.
Sure, when you... Yeah.
Yeah, but it can't be under the smile.
Okay.
It's all about the thought.
You,
unless you understand...
Yes, you do.
Unless you understand what...
And
what
is it?
Let me I'm answering your question.
No.
Unless you know what the pure spirit soul is, there's no question of unconditional love. It's all a bunch of hot talk.
Why?
In order for there to be pure love, it has to be pure soul.
I want to know if you gain the nirvana until you are...
It's Krishna consciousness is beyond nirvana.
I want a pure finish.
No, because I'm asking a question. I know, and I'm answering. Krishna consciousness is beyond nirvana. Bhagavad Gita is beyond nirvana. Nirvana means out of the forest of illusion.
Yes.
Now, when you are out of the forest of illusion, where are you? You don't know.
Aware of illusion.
What is aware? Keep your whole life.
Show me this. Not eternal. So I'm the
position. Very good. Very good. You came to the right place.
Yes. So you know, I want to listen.
Yes, I'm glad.
I want to listen.
Yes, please.
What do you want to do when you are out of the phone?
Yes, perfect question. Very good.
Okay.
Then the pure soul exists in pure love of the Supreme Soul. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. How the pure soul in perfection loves the Supreme Soul. Now that is far beyond nirvana.
You're sure, but can you teach me that?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to listen.
Okay. Now, listen, but...
But
if I have some questions, I like to ask you.
Yes, okay.
You
ask questions.
Now, in between your teaching,
I've been teaching from the beginning, you
know. I'm ready to understand.
Okay.
Where is the how, what do you have to do? Because you told me that there is something that you can learn when you are out of the forest.
Perfect question. Very good question.
And the Buddhist, very well, because a Buddha, he didn't know that when you are...
I didn't know, I just said you didn't say.
Yes, he didn't say what you have to do when you gain the...
That is a perfect question.
But I want to...
This is a perfect question.
I want to know. There is something to do, to learn.
Yes. Perfect question.
Brilliant. Yes, sir. You think that this learning is in books, or maybe in just to accept the things like this? Do you
understand the information? If the information
is beyond Buddha, this is beyond Buddha.
This is
beyond Buddha.
Beyond or behind?
Oh, behind.
Behind.
You're
saying it's behind.
Right.
Or the bench, that's Buddha.
No.
This
first.
Yes. That's what Paul said. What's famous?
First time. Yes, in place.
Training.
Just like in the school, first grade, second grade, third grade, third grade,
third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade, third grade
specific that a person, second, and third graders who cannot understand spiritual perceptions that are often simply get free from suffering. Now, sooner or later, as you're becoming free from suffering, you're going to want to know, what do I do once I'm free from the suffering? Anyone who simply wants to get free of suffering and doesn't inquire what you do after you're free from suffering is a fool.
I will listen and I will be fine.
Got it.
Well, and you show
me.
And I'm not complete. Because if Buddha didn't say nothing, is it because there is nothing to do?
No.
To say.
It's because the people already told you not to hear.
And I understand.
The people were not intelligent enough, so Buddha didn't talk about it.
Oh, yes.
He took them to a certain point of shock and said, how
why?
Because they're not involved enough.
Because, the next Buddha, he didn't tell us.
Now, if that wasn't enough, the people were talking to
him. And so, yeah, I understand, but
and why?
With the development of the spiritual world, too.
Spiritual what?
The spiritual persons are in the world from a Buddha enlightenment. There are some enlightened persons, too, right?
Enlightened in a very limited sense. Now, I'm not saying Buddha didn't know, I'm saying he didn't teach. There's a difference.
I know.
Okay.
I have to know, but why? The next first person, they know the teachers.
Because they're also talking to the same kind of persons who don't have the intelligence of a good person to understand spiritual perfection. The activities of the spirit, soul, and perfection.
And so now, I'm very lucky that I'm in this thing.
You are. The luckiest thing you can do is to read Action of Krishna Souls and absorb your intelligence. It will be very fascinating for you.
Yeah. And the thing, which, well, I'm talking not to with my mind, but to with my heart, and maybe you are seeing that. And this is fun. I would like to know what you know about it.
Okay.
About the after the body.
Okay. Where is the verse in Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasocha Dina Kamshati. 18 what?
1865.
54.
54, that's
right. Okay, you turn to page 837.
837,
yes, please.
You are not the. No, but maybe you didn't respect my vision. So maybe you want to do another lesson. Yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
This is my English now.
Yeah.
It is not a coincidence.
Okay, you have 837?
Yes.
Okay. I'll read the sentence. Brahma Bhuta Prasadama Na Sochati Na Kamshati Sama Sardeshu Bhut Sama Sardeshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labate Param. Katrina, you read the translation?
One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. Neil laments what is right and even. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
Yes. So in this verse, Krishna is explaining
how nirvana is a stepping stone to pure love. First, you become free of your material desires. You become free of your false ego. You never lament, and you don't desire to have anything. You see all of the enemies as equal. So then Krishna says, I live now. You can begin, if you want, to practice pure love. Once you are free from the false, then you can experience the eternal spiritual identity. Now the mistake is to think once you reach the nirvana, or this Brahman stage, that that's the ultimate. Now Buddha never said it's the ultimate, he just didn't talk about it. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about it. So he says, when you reach the stage of enlightenment, that's when the fun only begins. It's not the end, that's when the fun begins. Yeah. So, nira means out of, vana means sparse. The Sanskrit word, Now, once you're out of the forest of illusion, then you can start to love Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Okay. You're going to read the third part. Sorry, because the English is not his native language. Well, he knows it well.
The infant achieving the Brahma stage, becoming one with the Absolute is the last word. But for the personalist, or pure devotee, one has to go still further, become engaged in pure devotional service. This means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation, for Brahma Buddha, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto him. In the Absolute conception, there is no difference between service and servitude. Yet the distinction is there, in the higher spiritual sense. In the material concept of life, when one works for sense gratification, there is misery. But in the Absolute world, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. The devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing for which to lament or desire, since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service and Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself. He is just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he is naturally always joyful. He does not lament for any material loss or spiritual gain, because he is full in the service of the Lord. He has no desire for material enjoyment because he knows that every living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore only its presence. He does not see in the material world something as higher and common as well. Higher moral positions are at his level. And a devotee has nothing to do with the external appearances or disappearances. For him, stone and gold are of equal value. This is the Brahma Buddha stage. And this stage is attained very easily by pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish.
Can we do that again, please?
In the stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality
just totally destroying one's individuality.
And hellish.
Becomes hellish, means becomes a horrible thought.
So in that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with someone who has it or has it. Maybe because some words are not very
appropriate. I know it's a little tough to accept them. Interesting, huh?
The idea of attaining the heavenly kingdom becomes senses and glorious, and the senses are like serpent's teeth that are broken. As there is no fear of a serpent with broken teeth, there is no fear from the senses when they are automatically controlled. The world is miserable for materially infected person. But for a devotee, the entire world is as good as Vaikuntha or the spiritual sky. The highest personality in this material universe is no more significant than an edge for devotee. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age.
Mm-hmm.
But, he didn't say pray nothing new. He said the meaning of the nirvana.
Krishna said, in that state you can begin to work on perfection. Devotion.
Yes.
Devotion is shown by the spirit soul to the supreme soul.
Yes.
So there's no question of annihilating the self. There's a question simply of uncovering or reviving your pure identity in pure relationship with the Supreme Lord. Now, Buddha didn't talk about that. Not because he didn't know it, but because the people weren't ready to hear it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I have to tell you.
Yeah. I read Osho many things.
Yeah.
O-S-H-O.
Can you, what is this philosophy?
Is this one?
No. Did he teach surrender to Krishna in pure love?
He talks about many religions.
Did he teach how to surrender to Krishna in pure love?
He teach his way.
His way, which is?
I don't remember.
I'm glad you don't remember.
No,
he's
love,
yeah.
Is love.
Love? Yes. All I know is that, I don't want to say. But,
Okay, you like it?
The activities of his followers that inspires you in unconditional love?
I don't know the activities of his followers.
Basically, I've also looked at some of his books. Basically, he said that in order to reach spiritual purity, first you have to burn out all your material desires. So you should just do whatever you want. And that if you try to repress your lower desires, you'll never make it to the spiritual plane. Well, I read this with my own eyes.
First, you just
get into it. Just have loads of sex life this way, that way, with tomatoes, cucumbers, anything, just... And then...
Like Buddha did.
No, Buddha never lived like that.
Well,
Buddha, even in his sense-data victory life, was never like the followers of the so-called Osho. He says, just let your senses run wild. Buddha, even his pre-enlightenment life, never did that. He says, just do whatever you feel. You know, have lust any kind of way. And then, gradually, one day, it'll all empty out and you're spiritual. This is hell.
So this is
demoniac.
You told me that the Krishna wrote this book, right? So he showed us what we must do.
But then you told me about Osho, and you said that... No. You said that Osho says the same thing as Krishna said. I'm saying no. Absolutely not.
Okay, these kind of things that when you understand, you become a pure person. It means that you are in a relationship
with
the Lord.
Okay.
The energy of
the Lord. Now, what is
it? These things.
You have to
say what you have to do.
Yes, because you don't understand. Look, let's turn the page.
You told me what to do.
Turn the page, 837. Okay. Yeah, look, in the last line of the translation. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
I'm sorry, what?
Can you see?
Yes. 1 to 15 to 17, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18,
in that state.
Yes, yes. Do you, the version is the same.
Unto me.
So it will.
Mm-hmm. So you have to find out what is pure devotional service unto Krishna. That's what you do.
And you know?
Yes, yes. You can know too.
Oh.
You stay here, you can learn more.
And now?
Yes, you can stay. Yes. You may take dinner and then afterwards,
okay.
And go on.
Okay.
Play
it. Now, I think that you can learn me many things about this kind of the world because of you, but not you because this book says something.
I will only tell you what this book says, otherwise I'm cheating you.
No.
If you hear me say anything, except, listen, if you ever hear me say anything that is not based on this book, then call me a cheater.
No, it's different, because, you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, then maybe
if... Pure devotional service.
Yes.
Unconditional love means whatever Krishna says, I say. Unconditional love means whatever Krishna says, I say. Now you should be curious, well, who is this Krishna? So you should try to understand Krishna.
So it means to understand the history of the
You
should
try to understand Krishna.
Krishna is the history of life. Yes or no?
No.
No.
Not the way you mean. Krishna is presently unknown to you and therefore you are conditioned.
I don't understand.
I know.
So I don't understand very well.
You do not understand Krishna, and therefore you are conditioned. Enlightenment means, in its full sense, to understand Krishna. That's why Krishna says...
What does it mean to understand in the real sense?
To understand that you are Krishna's servant.
I understood this, but not the word.
If you know that you are Krishna's servant, then you render pure devotional service to Krishna.
So, I understood this for a long time.
And so how I...
And my life is a simple mission now.
Of?
I know this.
Of?
His will.
And who is... What is this will? Who are you referring to?
The Krishna. God.
And?
God.
And tell us about Krishna.
Sitting.
Just so you don't know, why don't you just say, I am the arrogance of anything spiritual and material. Everything emanates from me.
Yeah, I know this. I understood. But I think that this understanding is in the enlightenment. Do you understand?
So Krishna also says, one who understands it.
Understand means this. Means to understand.
I'm not understanding.
You are a servant of his will.
And what is the will?
That's the life.
What is the will?
That's the meaning of the life.
What is the will of Krishna?
In my life, in your life, is the
creature. Every creature.
Love.
And how do you do that?
Practice.
What do you practice? Just so you don't know. Do us a favor.
But if I don't know, why you don't tell me?
Because I don't think you're ready to hear that.
No, without question.
You don't know. You need further education. You have some sincerity to you. You're interested in these subject matters. You should read Bhagavad Gita.
I'm sorry.
You have a good mind. You should read Bhagavad Gita.
I'm sorry. What do you mean? You told me I don't know. If you too, maybe you don't know.
You don't know about Krishna.
Show me.
You don't know about it.
Show me.
You have to be quiet a little bit. I can explain.
But thanks. Because in this book, Arjuna says, you have to meditate or you have to, he just said you become a future person. You are one
spirit.
You are one spirit. You are the spirit of his will. I ask you know this.
So what is the will?
Well, can you ask me?
Yeah, I just told you.
No, you didn't. So maybe...
What Krishna wants, you have to do.
Can you ask me?
What Krishna wants, you have to do. That's
can
why
you
Krishna...
Ask me?
Yes, I'm answering you.
Yes.
That's why, you see, Krishna is telling Arjuna he has to fight the war. Arjuna wants to follow ahimsa.
I know this.
And Krishna says,
I'm doing that.
Wait a minute, let me finish.
I'm doing that. And that's why...
Arjuna wants to practice ahimsa, and Krishna says nonsense.
No, I don't think.
I know.
I don't think there are words.
Ahimsa, non-violence.
Yeah, so what? I know this.
What is it, you know?
We are on the same boat.
What is it, you know?
You know that we must practice violence.
What's that?
That we must be always peaceful.
But Arjuna wants to be peaceful, and Krishna says, no.
Arjuna is not another person.
He wants to be peaceful, and Krishna says, fight.
Another person.
Krishna says, fight.
Arjuna is not another person. I am. It's the difference. Do you understand me?
No. Sorry.
What?
Krishna wants Arjuna to fight. Arjuna wants to be peaceful. Now, enlightenment means that Arjuna has to fight.
Why?
Because Krishna is the supreme, and Arjuna is his part.
And so, it's telling that he has to fight.
Krishna.
To fight.
Yeah.
But it is very important what we do. It is important what we do. And if the issue doing that because the effect is a positive for students. I don't know
anyone. Therefore, you should read better than you. That's my request.
I think that you should need to what the Buddha said too, you know?
I know. The closest contemporary Buddhist teacher that you will get, the closest contemporary Buddhist teacher you'll find to Krishna consciousness is Rama Govinda. You have read him?
Rama Govinda?
Yes. He's dead now. He's a German monk. He had many books on Tibet. But he is very heavy that this is nonsense, that there is no individuality. So this is a misunderstanding of Buddhist teaching. Rama Govinda, he's a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, he will say that. So, I like him. I also like his name.
Only question, questions.
My last question.
This was the thing that I have to do.
Yes, and we can talk more.
Questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, my coincidence that you encounter this book, believe that as it is, you are a philosopher, you please read this book. And we can discuss more.
Sure.
Other than this room started off just like you. She was just like you. She was saying the same thing as you almost.
Yeah, I want to say just one thing.
One more thing.
Yeah, one more thing.
Very good.
You know, it's what's important. It's not the phone. It's not to the need. To the motivation. What is important is the motivation. is why you didn't say something. And it is,
this doesn't make sense unless you know what your pure soul is in perfection. And you don't know that. You have to find out. You read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find out beyond nirvana. And then you can talk more. Otherwise, you're just going in circles.
Like you. You are going in a circle too. Yes. Yes.
It appears that way to you because you can't accept the difference between the material ego and the spiritual ego. Therefore, it looks like I'm just talking in circles because you refuse, due to your very nice training, you refuse to acknowledge that there is spiritual individuality. You think I'm going in a circle on the material plane, when actually I'm discriminating between matter and spirit. But you don't want to do that discrimination. You involve individuality because you've been so molded and conditioned to think that there's no eternal individual. That is what's causing you to think all these crazy things.
Can I tell you something? If I didn't know that there is an eternal individual, I was not a realized person. We are eternal. I know this.
Well, it's taking you about 2 hours to say that. Anyway, leave it there, and you read Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And you can talk about
it. Yeah, sure.
All right, time for dinner. Thank you. I didn't
hear you. Thank you for your
Well, I appreciate it very much.
And I'm very sorry if you add a different day.
We like it. This is what we're here for.
He came here and he expected somewhere else.
No. Let's give him a round of applause.